welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And as you already know, this is Ted. Austin will be with me momentarily. You know what's interesting to me this morning? I had a conversation with my family. We had a little bit of prayer time this morning, as we always do. In fact, sometimes our prayer time goes pretty extensive as far as time-wise, but that's okay. I like praying. And this morning, though, I had a little talk with my 21-year-old son and my wife, and we were discussing things. And I finally told my 21-year-old son, I said, you know, this is Harrison, my youngest son. I said, look, I said, you know, we all have to have contingency plans. Do you have any? Because, you know, he's starting a second year of law school, and he goes, well, no, I don't have any. I said, well, you probably need to set up some secondary plans. And he said, well, why is that, Dad? And I said, well, because a lot of things are really changing. And I did a little brief summary with my wife and my son this morning. And I said, here's what's happening. The same international Kabbalist, Luciferian, Canaanite religion weirdos who've run the planet for thousands of years, who basically contracted the M1 money supply in 1929, causing the Great Depression, they're doing it again. And I said, they're doing the same thing, you know, Great Depression number two here in the United States. And we all need to start prioritizing them. You know, do you really need to have cable TV? Do you really need to have all of this weird stuff that we have? Do we all need to buy a new telephone, a new iPhone, a new all this stuff on a regular basis and trade other phones in? I said, we need to start reevaluating on what we want. We need to start prioritizing. Number one, we need to maintain a really good relationship with our God, with God Almighty, the great I Am, and with Jesus Christ. That's super important. Number two, we've got to maintain the family unit. We've got to make sure that everybody's pulling together as a team. That's really important. And then we got to maintain our health. This is really, really, really important, because if we don't eat right, eat clean, take our supplements, what's going to happen is we're going to start having all kinds of health problems. And here's what I've seen. You know, when people start having health problems in a family unit, it creates a fracture. You say, well, sometimes people can't help that. That's true. Sometimes a person has an accident. Sometimes a person basically has an unexpected event happen, like they break a bone, or they're in an automobile accident, or they're in a, or they crash their bicycle, or something happens and they're laid up. Or hopefully they don't come down with cancer or heart disease or diabetes or something horrible that's debilitating. But to the best of our abilities, we have to maintain a preventative lifestyle. We have to make sure that we do everything we possibly can not to have heart disease, not to have diabetes, not to have cancer. Let me give you an example why. You know, husbands that are listening now, or wives that are listening now, or people that are working to basically maintain an income for their families. You know, we're all in this together, you know, and we all have to realize that just maybe, you know, we've got to cut back on a few things here and there. And see, when someone gets sick in the family, because they're not taking their supplements, or they're not eating clean, or they're eating too much sugar, or they're drinking too much alcohol, or they're eating, or whatever. What happens is it causes a fracture, it causes a ripple in the family unit. If a wife starts getting sick and she doesn't feel good and she no longer wants to have relations with her husband, well, that kind of puts the husband in an awkward position, doesn't it? I mean, you know, that's kind of a bad place to be if you're a guy and you're married. Same thing is true. If the husband doesn't take care of himself and he gets sick, and decides he doesn't want to have relations with his wife, well, that kind of puts the wife in an awkward position and creates a ripple in the family unit. I see this stuff, and, you know, I was in the council. I basically, as a state licensed nutritionist for many years here in Florida, I used to counsel so many people, and I'd see all of these things. They would talk about the fact that their husband was impotent, or the wife didn't want to have sex, or on and on and on and on and on. And so many of the times when I saw this, when I experienced this, and I spoke to people, and I started doing some background research on, you know, on their lifestyles, it was because the husband was 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight, or was on high blood pressure medicine, which is a really big one as far as causing impotency. It was because the wife, you know, had gained 100 pounds after she graduated from high school, or the husband had gained 100 pounds. We got to put this on both shoes. And all of these things happen. You think, well, why are you talking about this today? Here's why I'm talking about this. You know, right now in the United States, we're in a very stressful situation. We have a lot of stressors that are being put upon us by these Kabbalists. And they're pushing us to doing everything they possibly can to fracturing the unit of the family. Because these guys don't see us as a human being, as a husband or a wife. They see us as animals. They see us as cattle to be sold and slaughtered. You know, we got too many cattle right now. We've got to cull the herd. You know, we got to kill 7 billion people. We've got to take care of this pretty quick. We've got to contract the M1 money supply. We've got to let them starve to death. Guys, you think about it for a second. They put student loans out there for these kids, trillions of dollars in student loans that cannot be bankrupted. What the heck? That's totally illegal. They should never be allowed to pass that because they're protecting the government's insurance programs and the banks on this, whatever. What if these kids now can't pay the student loans anymore? I mean, all of these things are happening right now as we speak, so we don't need to be unhealthy. We don't need to fracture the family unit. Husbands and wives, you got to stick together. You know, husband, listen to me. When's the last time you kissed your wife like you really meant it? Like she was the love of your life? When? When's the last time you kissed your husband like he was the love of your life? Like you really meant it? When's the last time you held hands and walked in the park? When's the last time you actually sat down and talked to each other? When's the last time you prayed together? Dad, you're meddling now. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. 90% of your preachers aren't telling you this. You know, it's sad. I mean, we've gotten so compromised from the pulpit. But there are all kinds of things that we need to be aware of right now. We got to stick together, guys. That's why I pray for you every day. You're my family. And you know, I got this big blanket over all of you. You know, I station angels around all of you every day. I plead the blood of Jesus over all of you. I put a hedge of thorns around all of you. And if I don't tell you the truth and I don't come to you and I feel stuff like this in my spirit, guys, you know, we kind of like are suffering from virus overload right now, you know, of being quarantined overload. You know, I mean, all of these things are happening to us right now as we watch the fabric of the United States, the very fabric, be torn. And we're like, what the heck are they doing to us? Well, it's what they always do. This is the same group. This is why this show, and this is why I have worked so diligently for the last 7-8 years while we've been doing this show, to tell you who these guys are, to tell you this, the Kabbalists, it's the snake in the tree guys. I mean, this is who these guys are. This is the guys, these are the group, this is the guys who took down Building 7. This is them. This is this high priest class of Satanism that runs the planet. It's been doing this for thousands of years. This is that group. It's always the same guys. And to say that it's not these guys is basically, you know, is nonsense. Yesterday I was watching this video and I posted it online. It's a really good video. And it's from a guy in Japan. It's called the Corbett Report. And I remember at about 1 hour and 2 minutes and 30 seconds, I believe it was, he basically says that they're going to save us from the snake, from their god snake. He says that. I thought, this boy's awake. And I sent it out to a few of you. I posted it online. And I thought, you know, this is who these guys believe. They worship a snake in a tree. And you say, well, say it ain't so, Ted. It sounds ridiculous. I know it sounds ridiculous, guys. I can't help what they believe. These guys are Looney Tunes. The problem is they own the media. They own the Federal Reserve banks. They own the money supply. They own almost every single blue chip corporation. They own it all. And now they're going and basically loaning money to all the businesses in the United States for payroll so they can own them too. This is the same group. It's always these clowns, the guys who took down Building 7. They're the same guys that sling the dope out of Afghanistan and run it through their banking cartels to launder the money. This is these guys. And you know, and you say, well, it shouldn't be these guys. Who should it be then? I don't know. Pick a, if you think you can figure it out better than that, figure it out. I can't figure it out any better than that. And when I heard Corbett talk about the snake, I thought, yeah, there we go. He finally has got it. And if you look at the ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs, if you look at the stuff in the pyramids in South America, in Quetzalcoatl, he's always depicted as a snake. So what these guys did is they took the ancient Egyptian satanic worship and the ancient Canaanite satanic worship, and they stuck it all together in a book called the Zohar. And these are the guys using the Zohar who practice the Kabbalah, who worship the snake and the tree. That's who these guys are. And that's what we've got to remember. So our battle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the principalities, these guys. Because remember, they believe from a magic standpoint. This is what they believe. I'm talking what they believe. Okay? That if you give these interdimensional entities, these demons, what they want, the blood of the infants, the blood of the children, the sacrifice, you know, your prayer, your worship, and all the other stuff, that these demons will give you what you want in this dimension, provided that what you do with them and what you do on this planet is evil enough. And that's why we see it all the time. That's why we see Katy Perry, and we see Madonna, and we see all these other places, even the Eye of Horus, the Eye of the Snake thing. They're always doing the all-seeing eye. This is for Ein Sof. You know, the one-eyed snake god or whatever the heck they want to call him. This thing's a bunch of weirdo stuff is what it is. The problem is they run everything. And now we find out from Newsweek magazine that there's a secret military task force preparing to secure the U.S. Capitol. What the heck? The District of Columbia Mayor Muriel Bowser yesterday ordered a one-month extension of the state of emergency as cases in the region grow at a rapid pace. No one wants to talk evacuation, especially when there's nowhere to go, says a senior military officer working on a continuity government planning. He requested anonymity because he is not authorized to speak on a record. But a little-known military task force charged with evacuating Washington has already been activated. A task force charged with the most sensitive government mission of securing Washington in the face of attackers. What? Foreign and domestic, and if necessary, moving the White House and other key government officers to alternative locations. Activated on March 16th, Joint Task Force National Campaign Region, JTFNCR, is chartered to defend Washington on land, in the air, and even on the waterfronts. Special Task Force is the only one of its kind in the country, and it demonstrates how there are two sides of government preparedness, the public face, and even the day-to-day of work of most men and women assigned to the JTFNCR. Now, guys, this is some crazy stuff. And I contacted Dave Hodges about this stuff. And I said, hey, Dave, is this right? He goes, it's dead on. It's 100% accurate. And I'm like, okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to talk about it on the show then. Because, guys, if they're preparing all the stuff in Washington, D.C., what do they know that we don't know? Are we doing what we thought we were doing? Remember, the only way they brought us out of that Great Depression they caused in 29, remember, that's when Roosevelt, the communist, took over the country. And he started doing like the Tennessee Valley Authority, these giant work projects to get people back to work again. And he built all those dams like Fontana Dam and all the stuff, the Hoover Dam. All these things were built, you know, through all that area, that era. And we need to ask ourselves a question. That didn't help. It didn't get us out of the Great Depression. What was the only thing that did? It was austerity. It was forcing the American people to be rationed. Guess what they're doing? They're forcing rationing on us again. And then what they did is they started World War II. That's right. Franklin Delano Roosevelt wanted the United States in World War II. And the irony of all of this is Germany in 1933 basically decided they didn't want the international bankers in Germany anymore. And in fact, I think 37, 38, they started printing their own debt-free currency. And Germany prospered beyond belief for the rest of the world to see, to a point that Adolf Hitler was actually made Time Magazine Man of the Year. Look it up. I'm not making any of this stuff up. And what happened is that plan of having debt-free currency had to be stopped in the entire world, pretty much, came against Germany and Japan. And Japan was actually forced to attack the United States, and Germany, being its ally, declared war on America. All set up. We were set up to have all of this happen. And guys, it's because they don't want us to be debt-free. If we had debt-free currency, and people could get loans at 0% interest or 0.1%, the prosperity that we have in the United States would be unprecedented like it used to be. Because remember, we used to have debt-free money prior to 1913. We didn't have to borrow money from the Federal Reserve. And we were the largest creditor nation in the world. But these cabalists who practiced Luciferian money magic could not allow that to stay that way. They had to correct it. And they did. They came in, they put us in a debt. Little by little now, a little over 100 years now, we've had this giant debt crisis hit. Then the Frankfurt School came in 33 and decided they were going to go ahead and nail our educational system. And now we have college professors who used to never go in academics for money. There was no money in academics. I remember college professors in the 70s at Florida State, full professors making $25,000, $30,000 a year. And I remember this. Now these same professors, in some cases, are making $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year because student loans are subsidized, giving these guys more and more money because the federal government has subsidized it, and it's guaranteed and it cannot be bankrupted. And now, this is an article from Zero Hedge. It says, the hit is huge. Colleges brace for a fatal blow of next fall as face-to-face instruction is uncertain. And this long talk with Harrison this morning. I said, you really need to have an apartment in Tallahassee when you can be taking virtual classes in law school here at home? I know that's not the way you want to go to law school, but good grief, it can be done this way. A viral post written by a veteran professor on Medium recently grabbed prospective students' attention in saying provocatively, this is a message to all high school seniors and their parents. If you're planning to enroll in college next fall, don't. Do you hear that? Don't. No one knows whether colleges and universities will offer a face-to-face instruction in the fall or whether they will stay open. If they do, University of La Verne law professor Diane Klein wrote, no one knows whether dorms or cafeterias will reopen or whether team sports will practice and play. Now, you think about that for a second. Let's look at my alma mater. Let's look at Florida State University with three national championships and hundreds of millions of dollars having been generated through the sports programs there and the college athletics program and the merchandising program. Guys, what's going to happen if we can't have college football? You think, well, that will never happen. Guys, they canceled the doggone playoffs for college this year for the basketball. They canceled it right in the middle of it. What happens if we don't have college football next year? What if we can't fill, you know, our stadium's called Bill Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee. What if we can't fill the 80,000-person stadium because it's shut down? What happens to all the revenues being generated from that particular sport that goes back into the coffers of the college? We all need to think through this right now. It's kind of like this. We've all been put into a let's get serious mode. Let's get serious about praying. Let's get serious about our lives mode. And let's stop playing games. That's what we're in right now. Because, guys, this isn't about the coronavirus. It has nothing to do with the coronavirus at this point. The coronavirus at this point, at this level, is a giant fraud. Not that the coronavirus itself is not real. But I believe, and this is my opinion, I told you guys this a few weeks ago, I personally believe this is a genome-specific virus. What does that mean? It's specifically designed to attack certain groups of people that have certain ethnic backgrounds. Let me give you an example. I believe that it was specifically designed to attack Chinese. I believe that's why the death rate in Wuhan is so high that we wouldn't even imagine. It's probably going to be in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions. But when you have 1.4 billion Chinese, they're really not going to notice that, are they? I also believe it was specifically targeting a genome in Iran. I also believe it's targeting blacks. I can't believe you said that, Ted. Well, I'm just going to let you know this is what they did with HIV already. They went after the black population of Africa with HIV. So why would they do that? Well, a lot of third world countries are actually contributing to world growth as far as population. Third world countries are putting about 100 million new bodies on the planet every single year. These guys are eugenicists, and they want to get rid of the people like the folks in India or China or Iran, who they absolutely hate, or Africans, who they absolutely hate. I'm going to stop for 1 second because I know I have a lot of black listeners. You guys have to think about this for a second. You know, Planned Parenthood has targeted black families and black reproduction for a long, long, long time. Margaret Sanger was a hardcore racist against blacks. The Democratic Party is the party of the Ku Klux Klan. And if you guys are blindly following the Republicans or the Democrats or whoever you're following, you need to ask yourself a question. What do they stand for? What are their roots based in? And I'm not saying that we should have partisan politics whatsoever. And here's why. Because it's both fake. It's all fake. It's the giant Donald Trump clown circus show in D.C. He's a fake president. He's a fake politician. He's a reality TV star is what he is, who's reading a script. And every once in a while he gets off a script like, fire Fauci, hashtag. Okay. Oh, I don't know why I said that. Because he gets off script. He's got to quickly be snapped back into place. The entire country has been usurped. The entire congressional leadership has been compromised because of the fact that probably 60 to 70% of these people have been compromised sexually, with drugs, or with campaign contributions. All of this stuff is happening right now. So partisan politics right now, no, we don't need to go there anymore. We need to start looking at the truth of what's happening. I told you last week, Donald Trump is not in charge. We haven't had a president in charge since John F. Kennedy. Reagan tried to do it, and they shot him. Guys, it's one of those deals that this Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian group of people that manage the world, this organized crime network is what it is, it basically does whatever it wants to do whenever it wants to do because it has absolute control. Now, yesterday was so funny. I had a nationally known talk show host contact me, and he said that, you know, basically – that he's not involved in this, blah, 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 as far as this world. He's not going to be part of it. And I said, dude, I said, you know, we're not of this world. We were bought at a price. I'm going to say that again. Listen to me, friends. If you're a Christian, you were bought at a price, the price of the Lamb of God, of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died for you. You were bought at that price. to set you free so that you're not part of this system. You know, we're not of this world. We're just passing through. I've talked to you guys that many, many times. But guys, it doesn't mean that we're not having to deal with these issues that this world is causing. So guys, tighten it up. You know, make sure you get your supplements. Make sure you cut back on lifestyle if you need to. And make sure that you pray every single day. That's critical. Why? Because you got to maintain that relationship with the Most High. You got to maintain that relationship with Jesus. So it's when you pick up the telephone and you call God through prayer, He's got to know that you're wanting to have a relationship with Him and you're just not sending up a red flag SOS. Maintain a relationship with God all of the time. Pray every day. Austin, what do you think, my friend?
Well, that was really well said. And I mean, and this is what everybody has to look at right now, is what we pretty much are experiencing is another 9/11 false flag. This is what's happened now. You have to understand that. It's been almost 20 years, and we saw what happened with that. I was a young kid. You know, I watched it on TV. Most people, you know, remember where they were when it happened, and it was traumatic. You know, to watch that, to see that visual on television. It was a shock and awe. It was fantastic from a psych-op when you look at how they did it. And then, of course, you know, you have the Solomon Building fall at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, controlled demolition. Oh, it had a fire on the inside. Now we have Alaska Research Center University come out.
Building 7.
Yeah, it was physically impossible for Building 7 to fall with fire. Physically impossible. Could not. There was no way after 4 years could they replicate a controlled fall like that from a fire. It didn't happen. Impossible. So what we're seeing now is the exact same thing occur in the United States. It's obvious that this virus, even it being moderately dangerous, it causing immune system problems in people that are compromised or don't take supplements or already have underlying health conditions, it's been heavily hyped and used as propaganda, just like Building 7 and 9/11. It's to shock Americans into submission and to essentially a self-imposed martial law that we have now done ourselves, and now, since we have done so and allowed them to do so, the police, acting as military, have now come in some cases, in some states, in some counties, and full-blown police martial law. That's what they've done. I told you guys yesterday up there in Walton County, you know, Mike Huckabee, he's filing a lawsuit with them up there. They basically are doing roving patrols of the beachfront and their sheriff trucks, telling anybody if they go out on the beach, they will be arrested. We saw the paddleboarder in California, paddleboarding by himself in calm water, all alone, out in the middle of the ocean, by the way, which I don't even know how that works, because who owns the ocean? Who owns the ocean? It's not private property, it's the water. But he was not following the lawful command of a police officer when they came out there and basically told him he had to go home. How does that work out? And we've got people that are playing in the park with their kids by themselves, and law enforcement comes up and arrests them and or detains them for playing by themselves. I mean, the list goes on. You guys know the stories. I mean, we see all the videos now. It's becoming so regular, so common, that I think we're almost starting to get desensitized to it. It's worked. What they have done to us has started to work. We are starting to think this is the new normal. And what's interesting, I've referenced this movie before, and I'm going to bring this reference up again from The Hunger Games, because this is something that's really, really important you guys understand. There's so much facts in such a fictional movie with the first Hunger Games. And, you know, the tyrannical President Snow in that film, you guys have seen it, he's talking to the game maker in the first one, and he's a comment. He says, "Hope is the only thing stronger than fear. A little hope is effective. A lot of hope is dangerous. A spark is fine as long as it's contained." This is what they've done now. They constantly keep giving us this little resemblance of hope. At the same time, they scare us. They tell us, the coronavirus, it's going to kill everybody. Remember, it's going to have a 2 million-person death rate by the end of April. Everybody's going to die. And Trump got on there. We're looking at projections of 2 million deaths. We're not anywhere near that. They're having to go in and manipulate the data and count people that got in car accidents and committed suicide now. It's COVID-19. Pretty much every single person that dies in the country now gets listed as COVID-19 because they've incentivized the hospitals to get $12,000 every COVID-19 death they put down. I mean, let's be real. This is just another modified bioweapon form of the flu that floats around. Thing is, majority of people's immune systems are very strong still because so many people have woken up and they're taking vitamin C and D3. So we talked about this back in January. I had people calling me up and emailing me from all over the world, not just the country, all over the world, emailing me. What do we need to do? What do we need to get? What do we need to take? And I'm like, listen, this is what everybody needs to be on. It's basic, simple. You ain't got to go crazy with it. Just keep it simple. And a lot of people did it. And now people that have been exposed to it, people that have gotten it, dude, they recover from it quickly. And now what they've done is they've taken the groups that are already extremely sick, already probably had a high mortality rate because of what was going on, and they're looking at what's going on here, and they're saying, oh, well, this person has high blood pressure, and they're obese, and they have COPD. Oh, and they caught coronavirus, and now they died. It was definitely coronavirus. Coronavirus, did it speed it up? Probably. Were they already probably going to die in early age if they're 500 pounds and with high blood pressure and COPD and diabetes? Yeah, I mean, let's be real. Your lifespan isn't going to be long if you treat your body like that. And this is what everybody needs to look at. They try to scare everybody. Now they go in and try to give everybody a little bit of hope. Oh, we're going to open up the country now. We're going to open up the country now. Just hang tight. We're doing these three steps. Three procedures, and what they call them, it's called a proposed state or regional gating criteria. And yes, the term gating is used in the CDC manual that I printed off. Gating criteria, meaning we are now being pretty much categorized as cattle. They're letting us know which gates we can go through and when we can go through those gates. And interesting enough, it says it right below that. Satisfy before proceeding to phase opening. It says it with little bars around it. And the same thing I talked about yesterday. Symptoms. This has to be satisfied. A downward trajectory of influenza-like illnesses reported within a 14-day period and a downward trajectory of COVID-like symptomatic cases reported in a 14-day period. Now, I know I talked about this yesterday, so understand, if you heard the show yesterday, I'm not repeating myself because I forgot. I'm repeating it for everybody that didn't hear yesterday's show yet. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because they're now classifying influenza-like illnesses reported. Influenza-like. Do you understand what a broad term that is, guys? Not COVID-19 cases. It does not say COVID-19 test downturn in a 14-day period. It does not say that. It says influenza-like illnesses reported within a 14-day period. Influenza-like, meaning any single symptom or side effect that you could go into the hospital with that's remotely similar to something like influenza, a cough, a headache, a runny nose, a fever. Those are all influenza-like symptoms. And so what they're going to do is they're going to try to put us in a rocking chair because it blatantly says right here on page 2 with plans, at the bottom of the plan section, the last bar, it says monitor conditions and immediately take steps to limit and mitigate any rebounds or outbreaks by restarting a phase or returning to an earlier phase. Now what's interesting about this is they, again, constantly refer to these things as influenza-like illnesses or COVID-like symptomatic cases. Everything is based off that. This is what they're going to do now. States that listen, states that comply, states that are good little obedient servants, they're going to let you move up on the bar. Oh, you're in phase one now. You're phase one. You guys did good. You did good. You're going to be on television. You did good. You guys are good. You're all following the quarantine procedure. Keep doing what you're doing. And in 2 weeks, 14 more days, we may let you go to phase two. We'll let you go to phase two. And in phase two, we let restaurants open. Oh, yes. You guys are excited, right? Keep doing it. Keep doing it. And you get to phase three, and we'll ease a bunch of the restrictions. Now, here's the irony, guys, when you flip through this whole thing. There is no phase four. There's just phase three. And phase three still has restrictions. It still has controls. It still has all these different things that you have to do on them. It says right here, phase three. Phase three. This is phase three. There is no phase four. This is phase three. You're in the final phase. You beat the game. You beat COVID-19. Low-risk populations should still consider minimizing time spent in crowded environments. What? We're in phase three. We're done, right? No. Low-risk populations should consider minimizing time spent in crowded environments. Vulnerable individuals can resume some public interactions, but should still practice social distancing, minimize exposure to social settings unless precautionary measures are observed. This is phase three, guys. This is the phase three they tell us. When it's phase three, everything's open again. There is no phase four. They have effectively shut down the entire country, erased the Constitution of the United States, and we are now going to be kept in a state of national emergency perpetually now. I fully believe that, unless we stand up. That's it, guys. There is no other option here. The only reason people are like, oh, they're trying to help us out with stimulus money. Guys, if you really believe that, please don't tell me that anymore. For that so many times. They're trying to help us out. We got $1,200. Guys, the only reason they gave anybody $1,200 was so people could keep satisfying their debts and obligations like credit card bills, mortgages, and car payments. They want to make sure the banks still kept their money coming in. That's the only reason. Everybody that I pretty much know that got stimulus check, they spent it on bills. Duh. That's why they did it. They want to make sure all the loans are still satisfied and people don't start massively defaulting on all their obligations. And it's like Dad said, if they actually were considering being helpful, they would have frozen all the interest rates. Why are credit cards still at 14.9 and 19.9? Why has governors, or why has the Fed, or why has President Trump not come outside and done an executive order through the Federal Reserve and issued and told all credit card companies, all mortgage companies, that all mortgages will be frozen until the coronavirus pandemic is over with? Why hasn't that been done? That would help the populace more than anything. If you got a $10,000 credit card bill and you're paying 20% interest on it, and all of a sudden it goes to zero for the next 6 months, you're going to be like, oh, man, all right, sweet. I just got to pay back my main debt that I spent. I don't have to eat 20% interest on it now. They haven't done that. They're not even going to consider doing that. That's why they haven't even mentioned doing that. Donald Trump or somebody, I think, brought it up at the beginning of this whole issue, talked about basically trying to freeze some things or restrict rates. Dude, that literally went over about as good as a popsicle does on an asphalt in August in Florida. It dissipated faster than the media could even say anything about it. Why? Because Dad's exactly right. They want to keep everybody enslaved in debt. And here's the other problem, too. If they actually froze interest rates for 6 months, the American populace would wake up. And when they went back and reissued the interest rates, the American populace would not be so kind anymore. And they would say, wow, I paid off my credit card really fast with no interest. What? Now I got 20% back on it again? I'm not okay with this. I'm not okay with this at all. In fact, my credit's already crapped out from the last 6 months of trying to get stuff paid for. You know what? I'm not even going to pay these credit cards anymore. I'm going to file bankruptcy on all these guys. Kick rocks on them. Done with it. I'm not going to play this banker game anymore. And you'd have an epiphany. You'd have an awakening because people would realize how much money they are paying in interest. It's insane to me that you see these banks with all these derivatives and these unbelievable fractional reserve lending, 40-to-1. I told you guys, if you put $1 million in savings, your whole life you got $1 million in savings and you've got it in cash in the bank basically, in a savings account. The bank can loan $40 million. It's 40-to-1 ratio, guys. 40-to-1. $40 million in loans, that those loans are probably gonna be on average 4-5% on $40 million. And then your $1 million, they'll make you feel like they're treating you like a prince when they give you 1% or 1.25% interest on your money. No, we're doing you really good. We're giving you 1.25 right now. That's way above the national average. But yet they're raking in literally millions of dollars a year in interest off your $1 million, and they make you feel like you're some king royalty because they're giving you 1%. This is what the banks do. It's money manipulation. It's money out of nothing. This is the problem that they have gotten themselves into with the derivative swaps. And all this lending and all this fractional reserve banking, they have to have a cover to shut it down. And this is the perfect cover because now, again, the banks will never be blamed for this. They got way too much heat in 2009. Remember what happened with that? People were getting mad. People were protesting, lest we forget about all that. There were people and yuppies and hipsters and everybody else going around cities and having huge protests and riots because the almost $1 trillion banking bailout these guys got. They wrote themselves $30, $40 million bonuses and jetted out on their private jets. They got way too much flack for that. Now, it's coronavirus. It's COVID-19's fault. It's nobody's fault. You can't blame it on the banks. You can't blame it on the stock market. You can't blame it on fractional reserve banking or derivatives. That's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's COVID-19. It's the invisible, unseen enemy that can never be beaten, and this is what a majority of the populace has fallen prey to now, and it's so crucial you get this information out there, and I say that every day, and I'm being redundant on purpose. There's a lot of people now that are not taking kindly to this. There's people up in Michigan now that are had enough of this. There's movements all over the state now. These have to start becoming more larger. Because what's going to happen is, if we don't do something about it, they're going to keep doing this. And this whole phase 1, 2, 3 is exactly designed to do that. It's designed to give a positive affirmation, a positive sanction to the states and the counties that do good. You're good little slaves. You stayed in your house for another 14 days. We all of a sudden don't have any influenza-like symptoms pop up, okay? You guys can go to phase 2. Oh, but you guys down in Florida, you're rebellious. You keep going to the beaches. You go on your own beachfront. You guys, you're bad. You're bad little Americans. You go back to phase 1. In fact, you start over. You start over from go again. You don't even get to go to phase 1. You start over. That's exactly what they're doing here, guys. So understand what they're doing. Wake up. Speak your mind. Get together. Make your voice heard and make a statement, Dan.
You know, Austin, that was so well said. And, you know, I'm going to say one more thing. We've got several $1 trillion right now in student loans in the United States. You know, the bankers, they were bailed out for trillions of dollars again with this last stimulus bill. You know, why didn't they give the $2 trillion to the student loan people, pay everybody student loans? That would have put more discretionary income into the pockets of the doggone people than anything else could have ever done, not having to make student loans again. I mean, think about that for a second. Because, I mean, if we're going to guarantee this stuff and we can't bankrupt, let's just pay it off. But that's the point. That's why they didn't do it. The bankers got enough bailouts to last for 4 or 5 years. The American population got $1,200, you know, last 1 month, half a month, 1 week, depending on your lifestyle. I mean, this is what they did. The bankers got these giant balloon payments because, remember, derivatives can be 1,000 to 1. There's no limit on this. So they gamble on this. We're going to gamble that these shares are going to go up. We're going to put derivatives out on it. And it's a derivative. It's like hedging a bet. And they can go out to 1,000 to 1. So it's not just 40 to 1 on the cash. It's 1,000 to 1 it could be. It doesn't make any difference. There's a limit. And that's why we have 1.4 quadrillion in derivative exposure. And that was 12, 13, 14 years ago. There's no telling what the doggone derivative exposure is now. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable what they've done and how they're doing it to us again. You know, and this is the problem that we have. If they actually allowed us, like you said, Austin, to get rid of the interest, we would know what it would be like to have debt-free currency. Heaven forbid, the goyim can't do that. The cattle can't do that. The sheeple can't do that. We're going to continue to lead them like lambs to the slaughter. We're going to continue to feed their blood to the demons. We're going to continue to do these horrible things. Look at this mass murder up in Canada this weekend that nobody wanted to talk about. And I told you something was going to happen on the 19th or the 20th. They had to have a bloodletting, another blood sacrifice. This is what these guys do. Everything's by the numbers. It's who they are. It's what they do. It's how they act. It's how they live. This is what they go by the stars. You say, well, that's weird. Well, yeah, that's what they do. They go by gematria. It's all about numbers and things that are happening. I mean, think about it for a second. Now, you know, I've told you guys, this virus is genome specific. It's genome specific. They needed multiple strains to affect specific genomes. In other words, there wasn't just one coronavirus released. They released multiple coronaviruses. And people say, when I said that a month ago, people, oh, that's not true. Blah, blah, blah. That's not true. I said, no, it's true. They released multiple strains. And they did it simultaneously all over the world. That's why we had such massive transmission. And then they blame it on the fact that we had the Super Bowl in Miami, which that could have spread some of it. They blame it on the fact that the Princess cruise ship basically dumped a bunch of people out who could have been infected with that. That could have been done it too. But they had to have cover stories. They had to make sure they could explain why suddenly it went global, like in the blink of an eye, and there was no other reason for it. And there was no patient zero. Well, the reason there wasn't a patient zero is because they release multiple strains at multiple times. And it's DNA specific. It's, you know, these, they needed multiple strains to affect specific genomes. It is DNA specific. In other words, each of these strains affects a specific nationality. Each nationality, be it Chinese or Russian or German or Iranian or Jewish or blacks, they all have specific DNA. And this virus has been genetically developed to get rid of the undesirables. Now, these people are sick. You say, well, you don't know if that's true. It's ridiculous, Ted, that you say that. Okay, here's an article right now. You guys take it for what it is. I'll have it posted to the website. This is from the Jerusalem Post. The coronavirus has mutated to at least 30 different strains, the new study finds. Okay, now they're admitting there's 30 different of them. What did I just say? They release multiple strains. You say, well, they're saying that they mutate. Okay, they can say that. Now they're saying there's 30 different strains. The study was carried out by Professor Li Luan and colleagues from Xinhang University, Hangzhou, China, and published in a non-peer-reviewed paper released on a website, medrxiv.org, on Sunday. Yeah, so now they're saying there's 30 different strains. The results showed that the medical officials have vastly underestimated the overall ability of this virus to mutate, or was it mutated? This is the thing that we need to understand, guys. What is going on? Why do you think they wanted to give them your DNA? Really, guys? Because they wanted you to know what your genome was and what your family tree was? They were so kind to work and spend hundreds of billions of dollars in research and figuring out how to do this all with DNA so they could tell you that you have 25% Scottish and 25% German and you've got 25%, you know, Italian and you're 25% Russian. And, oh, by the way, congratulations, this is where your family and group came from. You think they care about you to tell you that? No. They wanted to develop genome-specific bioweapons. Well, they don't have the, yeah, they have the technology for that. And that's what they did. And I said this on a show, I think it was 3 weeks ago on Friday. That's what the Chinese had said. They've developed a genome-specific bioweapon. The Iranians said the same thing. That's why Iran got wiped out, got decimated. China got wiped out. The Italians got wiped out. And now this thing has run its course, but they can't let it die. They got to keep it going. It's kind of like the Kennedy assassination with all the people talking about it being called, you know, conspiracy theorists. They got to keep it going. It's kind of like when the National Transportation and Safety Board and all these people came out and did all of their reports on what happened with 9/11. They had to keep the lie going and say, hey, the planes took the buildings down, which is a complete and double lie. Building 7, Austin mentioned that earlier, the Solomon Building. It came down at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. No plane hit it. These are the same guys. That's why I always say these are the guys who took down Building 7. See, this is what they want you to believe. They want you to believe that this thing is just mutating and killing all these specific genomes. No, it's not. And now we got Joe Biden saying that he'd pick Michelle Obama, the transgender, according to Joan Rivers, who has something between her legs when she walks down the stairs. I don't really know, and nor do I want to know what that is, but I think I do know what it is because Joan Rivers said that she was a transgender. It was a transgender, that he was a transgender. Whatever it was a transgender. Now, isn't it interesting? Now they're setting us up to have a transgender vice president. We already had a transgender first man, it, she, whatever you want to call it, with this weird thing that was in the White House who hates America. And now he was saying that it'll be his privilege and an honor to have this thing as vice president. I guess he'll be declared incompetent pretty quick or he'll be taken out. And then this thing, how hard have they pushed the transgender agenda? How hard have they pushed that you're a racist if you say transgenders are like messed up in the head? How hard have they pushed this in the last 8 years, in 12 years? Trump's pushed it too, guys. He wants to be the most pro-gay president in the history of the planet. Donald Trump does. So what is Donald Trump's real motive in all of this stuff? I'm telling you what his motive is. Probably, my opinion. You know, when the one guy basically came out and said this a few months ago, but he's been found dead now too. He said basically that Trump's family has been offered a huge position in the New World Order if he complies. Now you say, well, is that true or not? I don't know. Gosh, I don't know. How can you vet something like that? You know, that's maybe hearsay. I don't know. But the point is, why did he put so many Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan people into the White House and into key government positions for a time such as this? Why isn't Fauci fired? I was on with Mancow this morning, and I said on Mancow's show, why isn't Fauci fired? Why hasn't Trump fired Fauci? Who's running D.C. right now? Is it FEMA? I mean, what the heck is going on? Now they're telling us they're having a whole plan. I just read to you guys a minute ago about evacuating D.C. and all of this. I don't know. That's the problem. They don't want anybody to know. Now, Donald Trump is banning all immigration into the U.S. to protect jobs as coronavirus pandemic puts 22 million Americans out of work. But why would he do that? I mean, they already banned travel into the United States anyhow, so isn't that kind of pointless? Shouldn't he have been doing that when he got into office 4 years ago? What about the wall? And heaven forbid that any of us talk about Jeffrey Epstein anymore. If you talk about a cover-up for Jeffrey Epstein, we were really starting to look at the bottom of this pyramid, this weirdo group of people that are involved in trafficking young children for their sex rituals. Remember the strange altar and the strange building that was all based on Kabbalah on Jeffrey Epstein's island, his sanctuary, his what do you want to call what he did, that weird thing he built out there, his pseudo church, whatever that's supposed to mean, in which he conducted these rituals with these young girls. Yeah, he had that on his doggone island. You can look it up. We started seeing the underbelly of this snake last fall. Man, oh man, between the doggone Trump impeachment and the coronavirus, they've done everything. You don't see any memes anymore that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. I'm still talking about who it is. By the way, we've had a second night of riots in Paris again, as residents accuse racist police of attacking minorities during a coronavirus lockdown. Yeah, we're going to see all kinds of stuff like that happen in Europe. Because why? Because Europe has decided to bring them all in. Unbelievable. I mean, you know, if you think about it, you know, instead of draining the swamp, you know, the swamp is draining the U.S. Treasury via the New York Fed. Now, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
That's what's going on right now. The Federal Reserve's role under the U.S. law that governs it, the Federal Reserve Act, is to function as the nation's central bank and lender of last resort to deposit-taking central commercial banks in a crisis to set monetary policy, achieve the dual objectives of stabilizing prices and prevent deflation as well as one runaway inflation while maximizing employment. If you want to believe that's what they're supposed to do, that's what they're supposed to do. But since 2007, the Feds have written their own playbook. They're running through the New York Fed, the Treasury of the United States, and it happened in 1934, and now they've come out of the closet. This is what's going on. I've got a bunch of articles posted from Pam Martins on the, it's called Wall Street on Parade on the website. You guys can look at them and read through this stuff, and you'll see who's really running the country. It's always these guys. A bunch of sick, makes me want to say a bad word. Austin, what do you think?
No, and that's exactly what we're seeing right now. As I told you guys before, FEMA has turned into a military operation. The military operation is now in control of the United States, as Trump has pretty much signed over his powers to that. Dave Hodges brought that up in detail. That is why the presidential seal was on the podium numerous conferences now, just as the White House. This is why Trump can't do anything. Literally, he just says stuff. The only thing he can really do right now is do more bailouts and sign more stimulus packages. He can't tell what the states what to do. He can't instruct Fauci what to do. He can't really do anything, if you've noticed that. His role right now is a reality TV star. It is. And what they've used him for now is to completely and totally switch the paradigm shifts whenever they need him to. First, he comes out and says, oh, blah, blah, blah. This is, you know, I'm a wartime president. I've got total authority of the federal government. This is basically, we got to do a full-blown lockdown. Then he comes out and says, oh, well, it's not that bad. We're going to be open by Easter. But then, again, he comes back and starts saying, oh, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. Then he comes out and he says, oh, we have to basically nurture the protesters against state-issued stay-at-home orders. You guys saw that the other day. He was, like, supporting all of Michigan and everybody that's rallying against their governors. And then he comes out and he basically says, you know, something different. And then he comes out and says, fire Fauci. Then he comes out a day later and says, oh, no, he's a good guy. I'm not really trying to do that. It's hurling one position to another. And what it does is it constantly keeps the country in a state of confusion. Nobody knows what the heck's going on. He says one thing one day and then flips in the next day. He's telling us that we're about to be back to normal and we have this three-phase plan. And then we look at the phase plan and it's a complete and total totalitarian nightmare. Then he comes out and says, oh, now I'm blocking all immigration from coming in the country. Then we see yesterday the manipulation in the oil market. If you've been in the markets or you've watched the markets, that was one of the most bizarre things to ever watch yesterday, to go from $20 a barrel to like negative $26 a barrel, which meant for May contracts, buyers were going to get paid $26 per barrel that they took delivery of because of alleged glut. That doesn't happen. I mean, at that point in time, none of this is real anymore. And now it's back up, you know, to like $2 a barrel now. They've completely and totally just been manipulating the market for the last week, 2 weeks. I mean, all out. Now, here's the irony. Yesterday, and this is going to wake you guys up. Listen to me. Yesterday, we saw probably the largest manipulation of the oil market that I've ever seen in recent history. I mean, we've seen ups and downs. We've never seen anything like that before. I mean, where, you know, it went down like, what, 300-something percent, negative $26 a barrel. I mean, it didn't make sense. Well, then you have Trump, who's now come out now yesterday, and he has said, or excuse me, this morning, he came out now, and he said he has now told the Energy and Treasury Secretary to start a full bailout plan for the U.S. oil and gas industry. He said these are very important companies.
There we go.
Jobs will be secured long in the future. We have to have an immediate bailout plan for them. Now, here's the kicker on that. Now, a lot of people firsthand are going to sit and say, yeah, man, guys in the oil industry, I mean, that's a rough job. I know guys that are field workers. I mean, that's a lot of work, man. You're not getting any money. It's basically costing you money now to pump oil. Well, here's the kicker on this that most people don't want to talk about. The four largest U.S. banks that have an enormous amount of credit exposure in the oil industry is, drum roll please, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo. Boom! They talk about Wells Fargo has a oil and gas loan exposure of over 10%. Citigroup has an oil and gas loan exposure of almost 20%. Bank of America has an oil and gas exposure of over 10%. J.P. Morgan Chase has an oil and gas loan exposure of over 7%. These are the real numbers right now, guys. This is what is really going on. They say 8% of Citigroup's total corporate credit exposure of $692 billion, $55 billion of that total corporate credit exposure is oil and gas loan exposure with Citigroup alone. Combined, you're looking at hundreds of millions of dollars in oil and gas loan exposure by some of the biggest banks in the entire country that now are about to see their loan exposures involved with these companies that are pretty much about to shut down because it's costing them money to pump oil now, default on all of this. And here's the problem. If the oil goes to crap and it's not worth anything, if the company bankrupts and completely defaults on their loan, it doesn't matter if Citigroup gets the oil field. There's nothing there anymore and there's nobody to work on it. They don't want them to default on it because they want to make sure the oil workers keep working. So now Trump is about to sign a multi-huge, multi-billion dollar oil and gas bailout plan to bail out who? Who? Not the workers, the bankers again. So these guys are completely
Absolutely.
And totally covered and hedged from all of their illicit, retarded bets that they make, and they have no issues whatsoever on the back end of this, nor any accountability. So I thought I would bring that up since nobody's really talked about that. This is what, and remember, those are just the four biggest banks. You got banks
That's
all
right.
over the country. BOOK Financial, Bank 7, Candace, CrossFit, Cullen/Frost, Independent Bank, First Horizon, Hancock Whitney, Associated Bank. Literally, the list goes on and on and on. And some of those banks are up there in the 60 to 70 to 80% oil and gas loan exposures. This is what's really going on right now. This is why you saw the massive oil manipulation yesterday. They had to push it down so far, so aggressively, manipulate it so much that there was no other choice but to justify a gigantic stimulus package for the banking industry that's controlling a lot of these oil sectors now to allegedly keep them afloat. And guys, again, we see another massive bailout to the banks that we're putting, basically getting put on the hook for, Deb.
You know, Austin, that's exactly what we've been saying the whole show. It's what we always say. It's the bankers that do this. It's the cabalists. They run it. I mean, you have this cabalist tentacle all over COVID-19. I mean, you think about it. Two cabalist-fostered events that have greatly shaken America and the world. Number one, the 9/11 terror attack under the supervision of George W. Bush, who was Republican president. And the COVID-19 virus under the supervision of Donald Trump, the Republican president. Notice the following, how the numbers 9 and 1 are used to name both events. Both events. And hold great significance for these Satanists, these cabalists. According to the book Numbers, the Cult of Power and Mystic Virtues by Westcott, 9 holds great significance. In fact, number 9 is the number of the earth under evil influences. Here we go again. This is what they do. As the number 1 It says, in witchcraft, one is the intention. You would use one in magic to emphasize the importance of your intention. In other words, put the world under an evil spell. In other words, these Kabbalists who control the United States government want the world to know that they're serious about their intention to control the world through evil influences. I mean, unbelievable how hate towards others, Muslims being one and China is the other, and in general the sense of fear that carry both events. They're causing economic chaos followed by eventual bailout after eventual bailout of the bankers. And again, notice how New York City is ground zero for both, the epicenter for both, the coronavirus in the United States and 9/11. You know, I mean, now we're having draconian measures to enslave the world, immediately ensure invasive security protocols as airports around the world after 9/11 basically had a global lockdown. And now we're having the same thing with 9/11 with the COVID-19. Now, the Republican presidents, or basically and the Democratic presidents, are nothing more than spawns and pawns in the basic Kabbalist network. I mean, this is what's going on. But does anybody else talk about it besides the Ted Dawson Rose show? I think not. Guys, this is what is happening right now. We're seeing it again. This time, it's in slow-mo, and we're seeing it from a daily basis, including the intentional shorting of the market to a point where oil went to a negative $36 a barrel. Are we going to see that at the pump? Absolutely not. Should gas, wouldn't it be wonderful if gas was back at 49 cents a gallon and diesel was at 39 cents a gallon? Wouldn't that help the economy? Absolutely, yes. But it won't, it won't help the bankers and their cronies. Yeah, that's where this is going. Guys, remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Pray. Pray every day. Zwei Lebensstützenbrecken nie gebetet und Arbeit heißen sie. Two principles in life that you have to depend on. Prayer and work. Guys, stay frosty. Love Jesus. Love your family. Guys, you're the best. It was my privilege and responsibility to pray for you today. Awesome. Finish it up.
Absolutely, guys. And again, continue to stay awake. Continue to speak the truth. Continue to get this information out there and wake people up. The more we wake people up, the more we can elicit change in what's going on right now for the good. So again, thank you for the support of HealthMasters.com. Be sure to check out the website. Product of the week, Ultimate Multiple Capsules, last day on sale. Multiple other products. We have the Health Masters Hagman Brower Immune Kit. We have the Vitamin C still in stock. Again, thank you for the support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.